It's a World Health Organization supported study. And we currently do it in 43 countries across the world, and it's been going since 1982 and repeated every 4 years. So we've really got good decades now of really good data around young people's health and well-being. We ask young people about every aspect of their life. So we don't just ask about the traditional things that people are concerned about in adolescence, such as drinking, drugs, smoking, you know, the sex and rock and roll kind of issues. We actually talk to young people about what they think about their school life, their family, their friends, their positive health behaviours as well. So we've got some really good data on what really makes young people tick.
What countries are involved in the study?
Right, so primarily it's been Europe and North America, but now we've got linked projects which are piloting the study in Taiwan, China and Australia.
So this looks at 11, 13 and 15
yes,
girls?
Yes, yeah.
Why this age group?
Because at age 11, for example, we see boys and girls and pretty much being the same. So they have good well-being, good body image. They're just starting high school and things are pretty generally reported to be pretty okay for them. It's during that 11, 13 and 15-year-old kind of age that we really see a change. Young people go through puberty, they start to become more independent, and it's this age that, if successfully navigated, has all sorts of positive outcomes for the rest of their life. So it's a really important phase. And also now, we now know that brain development in the second decade of life continues and is doing some really important things for young people's brains that really, you know, need to be shaped and are shaped by the environment that they're in. So all the kind of synaptic pruning and protection that takes place of the synapses in the brain really happens during this period, and it really and is dependent on a positive environment. So if young people are in toxic environments, then it really affects their brain damage, their brain development permanently.
Over the last couple of years, what have been some of the trends that you've found?
Right, well, across the last decade, it's been really interesting because we've seen, contrary to many people's popular views around young people and a lot of the negative kind of press, we've seen a real decline in the kind of behaviours that cause concern. So drinking, smoking, violence, all of that has declined really for amongst young people. But at the same time, we're seeing emotional well-being also decline, and particularly amongst teenage girls. I think there's a real concern around the rise in just levels of anxiety, stress, and behaviours such as self-harm have really dramatically increased. So, for example, in the England survey we completed, 33% of 15-year-old girls reported that they had ever self-harmed, which I think is a shocking statistic and something we need to be seriously doing something about.
With that emotional well-being, I think I was reading in the English study that those 11-year-old girls and boys, there wasn't really much difference in stress levels and all the rest of it. But it was by the time of 15 that there was a really noticeable difference between girls and boys. What do you put that down to?
Well, to be honest, we don't know. At this precise moment, we need much more research and exploration of the data to actually identify the differences, because, interestingly enough, very few studies look at gender differences in this age group. But one of the key things is the pressures girls report, certainly around things like body image, the pressures they feel to conform to gendered expectations around what a girl should be. And I think those kinds of pressures have actually increased across the last decade. And we're now seeing those kind of pressures being experienced by boys as well. The pressure to look good all the time, to kind of be popular, all of that, and as well to achieve in school. School standards have increased. The pressures in schools have also increased for young people. So we need to be providing better support, really.
It's interesting that the pressures have increased on young people, but you'd think they'd turn to, what do adults do? They turn to drugs and alcohol to self-medicate.
Yes, in many ways our young people are setting much better examples. certainly policy's made a difference. It's much harder, for example, in the UK, and I believe here, to kind of, you know, drink ahead of the legal age. There's much more regulation around that. Young people are in much more supervised activities. So, and also it's become less acceptable. amongst young people, when we reported to them, they understand that their futures are on the line at this age group, during this age, and they really do understand that they need to achieve well at school. So in many ways, they're setting really good examples.
and surely education comes into that as well.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the sort of support that's provided by schools is critical. A lot of our data has shown that really good health education in schools makes a fundamental difference to, and for example, in schools where, in the UK, where there is really good support and health education and personal development support, we find levels of self-harm and anxiety to be much lower. So schools really can play a critical role in addressing that. And parents, believe it or not, which may be hard for any parent who's listening at the moment, you know, when they're dealing with a door-slamming adolescent. But actually, we find that parents who keep an open door and good communication with their young people, actually, their young people can navigate adolescence much more successfully.
15 is still quite a young age, I think, to undertake those risk-taking behaviours. Do you think that it would change if you were looking at 17-year-olds?
Yes, that's a really good question. Actually, what we'd really like to do is start looking at older adolescents, so the 18 to 24-year group, so the university students sort of age group, because they're the ones who are really experiencing pressures in terms of the workforce. And we believe that actually some of the risk behaviours might have shifted just into that older group. And there's a real concern about emotional well-being and anxiety in that age group as well. So we know, for example, that young male suicides are on the increase. So we do need to be thinking about the whole gamut of adolescents and young people and their well-being.
And can you tell me a little bit about Australia? We've recently done a pilot study similar to this.
So, yes, Australia is seeing the same kind of trends, really. Your physical activity levels aren't as high as I would have thought they would have been, actually. Your risk behaviours, though, are also lower. So that's a positive. But your self-harm and issues and emotional well-being is also not as good as it should be. So we are seeing kind of global trends here.
So where do you think that... Do you think that things like self-harm are going to continue to increase globally?
Well, I think if we can put in place and listen to these early findings, we can kind of stem the tide and really, you know, address that kind of potential iceberg that we're going to be facing. And really think about how we can put in good support around schools. You know, we've had a decade of drugs education, alcohol education, smoking education. Now we need to switch and really understand where this generation of young people are coming from and the anxiety and stress that they're under.